Now we come to consider the gospel, where you find the mysterion, this act of God in history, which brought to us by the liturgy, and in another way, lesser in some ways, most of the time, by our own personal reading and meditation. But it's this act of God. You know, the agent is God, acting in and through a human nature. And in this case, being acted upon in that nature. He's this big. This is God. And his mother and his foster father are bringing him, and as the text says so beautifully here, when the time came for their purification, who's the there? Is that Mary and Joseph? Or is it Mary and Jesus? Well, I think it's Mary and Jesus, and I'll tell you why. This is Leviticus 12, starting with verse 1. Adonai spoke to Moses. He said, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say, if a woman conceives and gives birth to a boy, she is to be unclean for 7 days, just as she is unclean during her monthly periods. On the 8th day, the child's foreskin must be circumcised, like Abraham. And she must wait another 33 days for her blood to be purified. She must not touch anything consecrated, nor go to the sanctuary until the time of her purification is over. And if she gives birth to a girl, she's unclean for 2 weeks," and so forth. When the time of her purification is over, for either boy or girl, she is to bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting, or the temple, a lamb, 1 year old, for a holocaust, and a young pigeon or turtledove as a sacrifice for sin. The priest is to offer this before Adonai and perform the rite of atonement over her. Rite of atonement, they want to call it. She'd be purified from her flow of blood. Now, the difference between a boy and a girl, but we don't have to get into that right now. But this is that act which, you know, spoken about, commanded by God, which the child who has just come, you know, less probably a month or more from the womb of his mother, circumcised on the 8th day, is brought here. And that's what our text tells us, you see. When the time came for their purification, it must mean the mother and her child, their purification. I guess it could mean, but you just heard the text. Doesn't say anything here about the husband being purified. They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. That's where we get the notion of presentation. As it is written in the law of the Lord, and then this text I just read out to you is that's the law, okay? And it goes on like that. So our Lord was circumcised on the 8th day after his birth. Looks like it must have happened, well, at least Zechariah and Elizabeth were there, but it's more likely that they came down than they went, the elderly copy went up. Anyhow, they were all together, celebrating. Why? Because with that, you know, flint stone, cutting off the foreskin of that young boy, he's a Jew. He's bearing the blessing of Adonai. Maybe he's the Messiah. Let's have a party and celebrate this gift of God, this child. Different than our abortion mentality, isn't it? This is the second step now, you see. After the days of their purification, Now, is it whose purification? Mary and Joseph? Mary and Jesus? More likely Mary and Jesus. Because the boy didn't incur any ritual impurity. And then the quotes, Luke quotes the text, huh? And to offer sacrifice, as it's spoken about in the Law of Moses, a pair of turtle doves for the poor. Okay, that's the setting. And here the Lord is coming to his temple. And we've already seen, do you see what I mean about letting the scriptures bring you into the depth of the event? Why would the liturgy take this psalm and say, open up your gates, the Lord of glory is coming in, when it's just this poor girl from Nazareth carrying her baby? Because that's the Lord of glory. But that means for us, our mind has to be purified and opened. We have to ponder this, beg the Lord to have it open, which is exactly what Ignatius is talking about when he talks about meditating, pondering the mysteries. But this is as old as, well, probably as old as the Bible. The Jews were doing it, but certainly when God became incarnate, then you have a concrete reality, either foreshadowed or existing, that you can ponder, look at, and have affect your life. And that's what the mystery is. The mystery is a work of God in history which reveals God. You know, Augustine, I think it is, who's talking about one of these acts of the Lord. I don't think it was this purification, this circumcision. One act, and he says, you know, audivimus historiam, inquiramus mysterium. We just heard the event. Now let's seek out its mystery. What's really going on here? And for that, we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But you see what the 15 mysteries, or 20 now, of the Rosary are? They're acts of God in history, into which, under the prayer and guidance of Mary, we're meant to enter into. The one that always fills me is the third luminous mystery, preaching. Yeah, baptism, Cana, preaching. And to be saying the Hail Mary and looking at that plethora of mysteries. The raising of the woman, the widow's son at Nain. All of these, you see. Anyway, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Now this is quite beautiful, you see. And he is described, you see, as dikaios en evlavis, righteous or upright and devout. And looking forward to the consolation, the paraklesis of Israel. There's a mystic, you see. God loves him. He's told him, you're not going to die until you see the fulfillment of my promise of consoling my people. Like it says there, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, behold, behold, my, be consoled, my people, the first lines of Isaiah 40. Now it's going to happen. And he knows, because God revealed it to him, he's going to be there to see it. And so, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit is his translation here. There it is. Then, en to pneumati. You know, in the Spirit, doesn't say guided, but that's all right. He was guided. Came into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was customary according to the law. Do you see? In verse 24, they offered a sacrifice, according to what is stated in the law of the Lord. And now here, you see, to do for him what was customary under the law. How obedient! The Mother of God, the Queen of the universe, obedient to the law of the Lord. See? Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, and now you have this beautiful, beautiful song, right? Now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace, according to your word, according to your promise. You promised that I'd see the Messiah. I've seen him. For my eyes have seen, and now he doesn't call it your Messiah. He calls it your soteria, or soterion. I have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the presence of all peoples. The whole world will know about this. See, this is not just going on in a corner of Israel. This is going to affect world history until the end of time. This mysterion, this act of God, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Now do you see why he's called so upright and holy and so divinely enlightened? He knows that when God fulfills his promise, all those somewhat enigmatic statements of the Old Testament and some not so enigmatic are fulfilled. The whole world is going to know about this Messiah. Now the Jews thought that they would be the instructors of the world, teaching the world Torah. The Lord came and said, not Torah, but as Jeremiah already promised, I will write my law in their hearts. I will put my spirit in them. And that's the new law that's being preached to all the world, the fruit of the passion, the act of love in which Jesus died. You see? A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. This, even though they know who he is, to some degree they know in faith, they know how he was conceived. They know what the angel told Mary, he's going to succeed his father David on the throne. Still, when Simeon starts to say all this and trace out his future, they're amazed, you see. And Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, this child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many may be revealed. And as for you, a sword will pierce your own soul too. You are going to feel this, because this is an allusion probably to a text in Ezekiel. You, Mary, are the very summation of Israel. And it is through your soul, as Israel, that this sword will go. And your life will be a life of suffering with Jesus, which is what John is talking about. You know, my hour has not my hour come. No, it's not my hour hasn't come. My hour has come. From now on, you know, you're a woman, you're Eve, and I'm Adam, and we must begin the new creation. Okay. And then another person comes, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel. She also is very old. She lived with her husband 7 years, and now she's a widow and for 77 more years. She never left the temple but worshiped. And so she began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. You've been waiting for this, you see? And so And they went back to Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God, the charis du Deo, was with them. Amen. Mm-hmm.